You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. More of your phone calls. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Say good morning to our radio partners, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio lineup, numbering nearly 400 cities around America. Also, our TV partner, Peacock. Streaming service, download the app. You can watch for free all 3 hours. Reggie Miller will join us coming up in about 15 minutes from now. There are a couple of ways you could look at the Preakness results from this weekend. The fact that the disqualified Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit lost to Rombauer could be a good thing or a bad thing because, well, maybe the good part is we won't be talking about cheating in horse racing anymore. If Medina Spirit had won, his failed drug test at Churchill Downs would still be front page news. And the negative side, there won't be a lot of buzz around the Belmont Stakes June 5th. And even though Medina Spirit's Derby win was nullified, winning the Preakness would have made a statement. Bob Baffert's horse was leading through most of the race, but for the first time in his career, passed down the stretch. So we're left with more questions than answers. Did Bob Baffert cheat? Or did he make a mistake? Do the rules governing the sport make sense? Is that what we're seeing on the track? Is it real? Tough questions that will come up again next spring when the racing world returns to Churchill Downs. But will Bob Baffert be allowed to return to Churchill Downs? Poll question, McLovin, give us the results.
Okay, hour one was whose career would you want? Chris Webber or Robert Horry? Actually, 65% went Horry, believe it or not.
Okay.
Then we switched it up to the debate we were having. Who would you start a team with, Tim Duncan or Kobe Bryant? It's pretty close, 54% Tim Duncan.
Okay. I'm surprised. If it was today's NBA, then I would take Kobe. But if I'm, you know, you also have to factor in the magnetism of Kobe, that he is going to bring people out. You're going to see something that maybe you haven't seen. And if you have seen it, it was probably by Michael Jordan. Tim Duncan is just going to be consistent throughout the regular season and the postseason. And 5 titles. He was the MVP in 3 of those championship runs. Great offense, great defense. Just no highlights. But that's who Tim Duncan is. There wasn't anything about his personality, anything about his play that you went, wow. Until this weekend, I think that's why people are surprised at his speech, or they were pleasantly surprised, because we don't hear Tim speak. Tim doesn't care. Tim would talk to me during the finals, or he'd talk to the media after the game. He'd come in, but he had to. Although he didn't have to come into ESPN, but he did come in. We had a friendship, and but he's not a touchy-feely, let's stay in touch. He's just not that guy. But he had a heartfelt speech. There were a lot of great speeches. Certainly what Vanessa Bryant was able to do, which I don't know how you have that strength and the resolve to do that. And do it on that stage. Even at the memorial for Kobe. And she got up there and spoke. And I went, I just can't imagine. Can't imagine being that strong. And she was. And she was this past weekend. And it was a great moment. But it could have been a greater moment if Kobe was there to give that speech. Just because he would have probably, taken names. He would have given some grief to Kevin Garnett. He would have given some grief to Tim Duncan. Anybody in the room, he probably would have, taken a shot at. But we obviously didn't get that. The play-in tournament is set, the play-in games, and of course the marquee matchup will be the Warriors and the Lakers. Steph went for 46 points against the Grizzlies yesterday. That's the 11th 40-point performance of the season, most in the NBA. And LeBron James, I always talk about his basketball IQ. He finally came around to understanding my basketball IQ when it comes to the MVP.
We just got to play to the best of our ability. We got to play Lakers basketball. We got to defend at a high rate. We're playing versus, in my opinion, the MVP of our league this year, and Steph. So, we got to be, prepared for everything that they have. They got championship DNA as well. They know what it takes and what it feels like to be in pressure games. So, we got to be ready for that opportunity and for that pressure.
Now, maybe if he's playing Denver, he would have said the Joker's the MVP? Maybe. But you're playing Steph Curry. Hey, you know what? Let's Curry some favor there. Yeah, Tom.
I'll give you that. That's all right. 1-0 yours. That's fine.
No, you don't give me. I take.
You just take it.
Yeah, you're not giving me anything. Yes, McLovin.
You must be joking about the MVP.
No. Well, I expected a crappy one from the back row. I just thought it would be from Todd. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. So Reggie will join us coming up. Jeff in Texas, best and worst of the weekend. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan. Thanks for the call. First and foremost, you guys are the best. I absolutely love the show. My best is the NFL schedule came out. Already got my tickets to the Thanksgiving game. My Raiders versus the Cowboys. I think the Raiders have a breakout season this year. I think the worst is that Steph not getting the MVP. He's probably not going to get it.
No, he's not.
But you see all the accolades that he did this year. He broke Wilt Chamberlain's record. He probably set the record for most games with 10-plus three-pointers. Like, what is Jokic?
Jeff.
You know, put up some good numbers.
Jeff.
But yeah.
Are you taking a bath?
No, sorry, buddy. I'm cleaning pools.
Oh, okay. How long does it take to clean a pool?
Anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour.
What's the best story you have about cleaning pools?
I've only been doing it for about a year, but just all the insects and the snakes and the scorpions and the spiders that you find in the pool and the skimmers and stuff like that.
Have you ever jumped in a pool on a hot day when you know the owners of the home aren't there?
I have not, but I plan to this summer because I'm in Texas and it gets real hot, so I will be.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. That's Jeff from Texas, who cleans pools. Yes, Eden?
Is that frowned upon in the pool industry?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just jump in somebody's pool?
No.
No?
No.
Well, you're cleaning it. Couldn't you be like, I had to get in over here. There was some grime down here in the center I wanted to make sure I got, and then you just take a quick little dip.
Or you just act like you fell in. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, you're in like Phoenix, Arizona. It's 118. You jump in fully clothed. It's an accident. Checking the old pH levels before we clean this bad boy.
Yeah. This is for your safety.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I thought I would test the pH level on my skin just so when your kids got in. Like, this is full service.
The type of hands-on service we deliver here.
Yes.
What if they come around the bend, though? You're in one of those chairs with the drink.
Yeah.
And the hose is doing all the work.
Checking the salt content here, floatability.
I did come back from a road trip one time, and somebody who was watching the house, they weren't supposed to be watching the house, but they were at the house, and I got home a day early, and my family was gone. And I came in through the back yard area, and there was a woman there in her bathing suit sitting there having a beer. And I said, hey. And she goes, oh, hey. Like, I'm the visitor. I'm the neighbor. And so she was just having a beer, sitting poolside.
Sounds nice. Sounds like a lovely afternoon.
Yeah. And then she got up. And had her towel on, and then she went and changed clothes, and then she left.
Is this a person you know from the neighborhood?
I know her. She's not in the neighborhood, but she did some cleaning at the house.
Does the story end there?
Yeah. Well, she didn't clean the house after that, but she did, she would clean the house like once every week.
She knew you guys were out of town.
Yes, she did.
Pool's clean.
Yes, and she took a dip.
It's going to be warm today. Can we all go swimming at your house?
Yes.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Naked.
Whoa.
I'm out. I'm in. What?
There was a time when my brother-in-law was staying at the house, watching the house while we were gone. Somebody, like a group of kids, came in and started swimming like at 11 o'clock at night. And So my brother-in-law went down and went, what are you doing? And they said, Dan's son said it was okay.
There you go. that's the move. I've been there.
It's very believable, too.
It is believable, but my son said that he did not give these people the authorization.
Your son's never, I could have copped to that.
Still, one of those moments where I came home from work, and my wife goes, look outside, look outside. And my son is there at the pool, and he's in a lounge chair having a drink, and there's got to be eight, you know, girls around him. And he's probably 15. Now, he's not having an alcoholic drink. He's having whatever, soda. And yet there are like eight girls out there at the pool. And I went, God, I want to grow up to be just like him. I do. Oh, he's got a great life. A couple of things with the schedule I noticed. The Pittsburgh Steelers. McLovin, aren't you big on the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I was. I saw their schedule.
Okay. Pittsburgh, boy, they got it tough, though. Do you realize that in the final 4 weeks, they've got Tennessee at Kansas City, Cleveland at Baltimore? It's going to be, I mean, Ben is going to have to be great at the end of the season. Here was the other story about why the Patriots and the Buccaneers are playing week four. Peter King had this. The NFL thought, okay, we want to make sure the weather is not an issue. They're not fighting for a division race, playoff implications, less likely to have an injury 4 weeks into the regular season. That's what they wanted to do. They want to make sure Brady is there, everybody's playing, and getting it in early made the most sense. They wanted to be able to tell that story in full earlier in the season. I did mention Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel writes the Packers are requiring a trade partner to send a quarterback back to Green Bay if they trade Aaron Rodgers. I don't know where this is coming from, but I mean, the Broncos have Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. That ain't leading you to a championship. You know, the Raiders to me make more sense. If you say Broncos or the Raiders, at least I'm going to get Derek Carr. And he's got his salary is acceptable through 2022. They're going to trade. If they trade Rodgers, they trade him to the AFC. You could check all the boxes there. Yes, McLovin.
Should they have maybe considered that San Francisco 49ers offer, which would have been the number three pick, maybe throw in Jimmy Garoppolo as that veteran quarterback? You know, it seemed like John Lynch said, like, they immediately turned them down. Maybe they'll never do better than that.
No, I wouldn't have done it for that. I would have done it before they made the trade with the Miami Dolphins. Because I can still get Garoppolo. I get those draft picks. And then if you want to trade Aaron Rodgers. That made more sense. And, you know, the number three, Garoppolo, okay, what are you doing with three? Like, you're not taking a quarterback. Are you taking Kyle Pitts? Okay. I got Garoppolo and I got Kyle Pitts. I'd rather have, if you want to give me Garoppolo and then I get three first-round picks, then that makes more sense if I'm giving up Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, you could probably get like a Devontae Smith. I know he went 10, but you could have gotten a big star receiver. And if you'd say to 12, I think San Francisco was originally a 12.
Yeah.
You would have gotten fit your need already.
Yeah.
But I guess San Francisco didn't know Rodgers was maybe available then. They didn't call it first.
Well, no, if the Rams knew in January, then how do the Niners not know? I think it was known, it just wasn't, it wasn't public. I think privately it was known, hey, he's unhappy. Even all you have to do is see that press conference and go, man, that guy doesn't seem like he knows what his future is. Hey, let's place a call. I mean, the Rams did. So why wouldn't the Niners do it? Yeah, Paul.
The other trade is possible. It's a long way off, but with Deshaun Watson, I was looking at the odds. The Texans are expected to be awful. There's now a lot of reasons to trade him. Yeah. If he somehow is cleared or settled or whatever, and in the clear, air quotes, why not? He's expensive and disgruntled. And
oh, yeah, you want to move on.
Yeah.
I don't.
For a good offer, right?
Yeah.
You may not have the offer you had 4 months ago.
Yes. Yes. Let me get to Kyle in California, then we'll take a break for Reggie Miller. Hey, Kyle.
What's going on, DP? What's up, boys?
Hey, bud.
So, DP, I mean, you're a basketball historian. You were there for it all. Isn't the Tim Duncan, Kobe, KG, what if KG got drafted by the Spurs and Tim Duncan went to the Wolves, who have been one of the worst franchises for 20-plus years. And I'm with you on, you want Kobe the player, but, I mean, I know we're looking back at it on roses, and I'm going to get struck down by the Laker gods for saying this, but Kobe did a lot of damage. He wanted out. He was going to the Clippers. And to the 2004 finals, he was absolutely terrible. I mean, you know, Kobe, I know we look back on it with roses, but in the moment, I mean, look back at the numbers. Tim Duncan, better all-timer than Kobe. I can't believe my childhood self is crying right now. I can't believe I just said
well,
that.
Well, Kobe also wanted to go to the Bulls, too. Like, I remember that was 2007, and we started the show with Kobe talking about, you know, going to the Bulls. Yeah, Paulie.
Do you remember what the main cog in that trade was for the Bulls that held up that trade reportedly? This is October 07. The Bulls didn't want to give up Ben Gordon, was the rumor that was going around. That the trade had it was a big package of picks and players, and one of the sticking points was the Bulls didn't want to give up Ben Gordon for Kobe.
Let's take a break here. Reggie Miller will join us coming up next. 17 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. I love helping you. That's why when we have these partners, you know, that, you know, when they say, hey, tell your audience about us, American Financing, you can get a free mortgage review and you're one step closer to making monthly savings that could be $1,000 a month. And I don't know if you've considered a mortgage refinance yet, but it's a free loan review. And interest rates are still at all-time lows, so a mortgage consultant can walk you through the lower rate options, shorter terms, even debt consolidation. And you get to choose the loan that's right for you, and it can mean up to $1,000 in monthly savings. That's pretty good. Think of what you can do with that kind of money. Then pick up the phone, call American Financing, 866-574-2500. 866-574-2500. Or you can visit them online at AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter. Go to danpatrick.com. Just give Mario your email address, nothing else, and he'll make sure he gives you the show recap every single day. It comes out at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Very proud of that. Reggie Miller, Hall of Famer, Turner Sports NBA analyst. A lot to get to, Reg. Let me hit you with the early poll question that we had. McLovin, you want to give Reg the first hour poll question?
First hour poll question. Whose career would you rather have, Robert Horry or Chris Webber?
Wow. Well, that is a tough one. That's a great question. I guess seven championships kind of trumps everything, right? Is it seven or six?
Seven
championships?
Seven.
A lot of big shots for Robert Horry. But think about the culture change Chris Webber was a part of, being part of the Fab Five in Michigan, because you're encompassing the whole career, right? Not just NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, college too.
I like C. Webb's career. Obviously, he doesn't have a championship to back it up, but a hell of a career for C. Webb. You could not go wrong with either or. But seven championships ring, that's hard to turn down. That's hard.
Would you rather have Robert Horry's career or yours?
I'm taking mine.
Okay, all right.
I'm taking mine. I know I don't have any chips to show for it, but it was all about the struggle for me, all about the struggle to win one. And I will never change my career for anyone's, because that's, to me, that's what it was all about.
Now, is Robert Horry a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I really do believe so.
Really?
And if you think about it, you could take away a chip from Tim Duncan, and you probably could take a chip away from Kobe if it wasn't for the fact of big shots by Robert Horry. I do believe he's a Hall of Famer. And if you look at some of the guys that are currently getting in that don't have gaudy numbers, I mean, Ben Wallace was a great defender, but he doesn't have gaudy numbers. Ben Wallace is going in this year. Dikembe Mutombo, great defensive player of the year, but not gaudy numbers in the Hall of Fame. Robert Horry should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, as much as I like Ben, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, Ben Wallace. I think he was a really good player. He was a key player for, you know, some good teams. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see him as a Hall of Famer. No, I don't. Chris Bosh was a wonderful player in Toronto. He was the third person in Miami. I know health issues, but he was second team all NBA one time, and that's it. I don't know how we judge, and maybe my bar is too high here, Reg, you know, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, but I don't know. I don't want to apologize for being kind of tough on, you know, the requirements. I don't want to demean Ben Wallace. You know, Dikembe, you want to put him in the Hall of Fame? You want to put Ben in there, Boston? I mean, that's fine. I guess I'm just trying to understand the criteria here.
I think the criteria you're thinking about is in terms of other Hall of Fames, because it's very difficult to get into Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame. Very tough to get into the NFL. I think the NBA criteria of getting in is not as high. And I think they do encompass a person's body of work going back to college, too. So I think when I look at Ben Wallace's career, again, not gaudy numbers, but was on great teams, championship teams in Detroit. He was the head of the snake defensively for that team. He was a couple times defensive player of the year, I believe.
Yeah.
I think he deserves. Now, again, I've gone against these guys head to head, so I'm a little biased because I've seen their body of work up close.
But is Derek Fisher a Hall of Famer?
No.
He's got five titles. Five titles. He's played in more playoff games than anybody in NBA history. He's got 2,500 more points than Robert Horry does. Made some big shots.
Yes.
So I don't know. I just... Throw that out there. Steve Kerr's going into the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Well, man, he's got...
Well, coach and player.
Basketball. He's got eight rings.
Yeah, right? I think five, so, right? Five
as a player, three as a coach.
He's going in as a Hall of Famer combination.
As a coach. He's going into the Hall of Famer as a coach.
Yeah.
As a coach, he'll go in as a Hall of Famer. He probably won't go in as a player.
But they would just say... Steve Kerr, Hall of Famer. But they would designate him as a coach going into the Hall of Famer.
I think he'll go in as a coach, but he's still a Hall of Famer, whether you're a coach or a player.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
you're in the Hall of Fame as a member.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I know.
You're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I know. If you could start your team with Kobe, Duncan, KG.
What era, what rules?
1995.
Tim Duncan.
Okay. I said the same thing. 2015.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, that's what I said too. Kobe would learn to, well, yes. He's a student of the game. He's going to learn to be great in today's NBA. Would he be a volume three-point shooter?
Kobe?
Yeah.
I thought he was a great shooter anyways.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he would be a volume – he'd be a volume scorer because I don't want to label him as a shooter because Kobe can give you buckets. So he would be a volume scorer as very much as he was throughout his career.
Better in-game dunker, Kobe or Jordan?
Jordan.
Man, I'd looked at some highlights of Kobe.
Yeah. I would say this. Kobe was probably – more artistic because he had the great reverse dunks that Jordan never had. But Jordan used to embarrass you on some of them dunks. That to me, the all-time classic Jordan dunk is the one against the Knicks in the Garden when he's going baseline, fakes the other way, and then continues to go baseline and just pipes on, I don't know if that's Patrick or I don't know who. It looked like all of the New York Knicks. That's probably my best dunk ever of Michael Jordan.
Did Jordan ever get you?
Well, I was guarding him, so he blew by me into the Davis boys and Rick Smith. So I was never under there waiting for him. So I got the wrath of it from Gail and Antonio. Like, Reg, keep them in front of you. I'm like, I'm sending them to hell. You're my hell.
See, you never got posterized because you weren't the guy who was going up to try to block, right?
Absolutely not. I was smart enough. That's their job, is to protect the rim, not mine.
Did you posterize anybody with a dunk?
I'm sure there's someone I got. I'm sure there has to be someone I got.
You should remember. You should remember, like, a two-hander down the lane.
Against the Knicks, yes. McLovin, Seton, look it up. Against the Knicks in the playoffs, I did. I got Charles Oakley and Charles Smith. I did. I got them in the playoffs.
They must
Hold up. Yes, I did. Against the Nets, the New Jersey Nets, in the overtime game, my last year, or second to last year, that sent the game to overtime. I dunked on the whole Nets team. It's the most famous dunk of mine ever. It's my last dunk, actually.
Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, he dunked right in Kmart's mug. Kenyon Martin was trying.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Do you think that they had to be so surprised? They're like, this dude ain't jumping. Like Kerry Kittles is going, this guy can't jump.
Hold up. I was just as surprised. I couldn't believe I was up that high.
You should see Jason Kidd's face. He's like, what? What did Reg just do?
Hey, I will tell you this. When I started to go up, I heard the theme. I heard the theme music. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I'm telling you, I felt what that was going up.
You're holding on to the rim. You've never been up that high before.
Hey, and what's funny about that, Mark Jackson was at the game just to come watch us play. And I remember after the dunk and the timeout, and I'm walking back to the bench, and his seats were kind of behind our bench, and I'm walking, and he's just shaking his head. I'm giving him one of these looks like, you remember this. You remember this, Mark. It was hilarious.
He's Reggie Miller, the Hall of Famer. How concerned would you be if you're the Lakers with Steph Curry here?
That is a nuclear bomb that can go off at any time. Look, let's face it, the Lakers are the better team. They're the bigger team. Championship experience, but so do Golden State Warriors. But Steph Curry, the way he has played all season, and especially the last 2 months, he can explode. And in a one-game series, if he gets hot, I will say this for the Lakers. They have a lot of wing defenders that they're going to throw at him. Dennis Schroeder, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Caruso will get some time on him. And if need be, LeBron James, if it's, you know, last possession of the possible game. So it's the Lakers to lose. They should win it. But Steph scares me.
The Lakers do well against Steph. There are two teams that seem to do well. Clippers and Lakers do well. They have length, and I think, you know, I'm going to let whoever, you know, we're going to pick somebody. If that guy gets 30, 35, fine. Right. I can't let Steph have, you know, over 35. I can't. And then if it's the other guys who beat us, you know, okay. But I'm going to make sure Steph has to give the ball up a little bit.
And, you know, for the Lakers, too, when Anthony Davis was in New Orleans, he used to dominate Golden State during the playoffs. And I just don't think they have a matchup for him. As great as Draymond Green is, he has given up 6 or 7 inches and a lot of length going against AD. So AD should have a field day versus Golden State. But I just don't think they have enough scoring. Unless Wiggins reverts back and gives them 25 or 30, Jordan Poole has played great coming off the bench for them. Had a career high, I believe, 38 a few games ago. I just don't think they can generate enough scoring against the number one rated defensive team in the Lakers.
But looking at the Lakers, it feels like if you don't get them early, then you're in trouble. Because I think once they get back into the rhythm here, then they're going to be less vulnerable here. Do you feel that way, or do you think the health of LeBron and Anthony Davis are going to be sort of a cloud hanging over this team, you know, the entire postseason?
I think it's always going to be a question mark. We just saw within the last 5 minutes of that Pelicans game, a little bit of a tweak to the ankle of LeBron. Now, Coach Vogel came out and said he's okay, he's good to go. But what else is he going to say? Oh, he turned his ankle again. So he's got to put that out. I think health and concern will always follow these Lakers throughout these playoffs. But it's funny how teams in the Western Conference were kind of dodging a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Not to fall in the Lakers' path. The Clippers did it. But I will say this. I feel bad for Phoenix. Because Phoenix is, great year. Chris Paul is an MVP candidate. Devin Booker has been ridiculous. Monty Williams will probably win Coach of the Year. And how are you rewarded? You've had the best record, a resurgence in the Valley of the Sun. And you were rewarded by playing the world champs, possibly, knock on wood, in the first round. Come on.
Who else is dangerous?
In the West or just in general?
Just in general. Like, just say, hey, here's a team that just keep an eye on.
Health, if they're healthy, and this is a scary first round matchup in the East, how did Milwaukee draw Miami? Miami ousted them last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They know how to play Giannis. Now, to Milwaukee's credit, I think they've done a great job of going out and getting some pieces. I think that will help them. Getting Jrue Holiday and PJ Tucker, two tough guys, two defensive-minded guys that are going to help Giannis in the playoffs. But Miami is a team that has championship aspirations. We saw them get to the finals. If they can find that shooting touch, because their defense has been really good. Bam has been playing great. Jimmy Butler has to stay healthy. He's been up and down all year with health. But when he's right, when those shooters are right, Hero and Duncan, this is a scary team to watch. It's almost a pick'em series for me. I know Milwaukee's the third seed, but to me, that's a pick'em series.
If you did your MVP vote today, who would get it?
I'm voting for Steph.
Oh, okay.
I know Jokic will win, and rightfully so. He's played every game, and he's had unbelievable numbers. He'll win it. But my MVP, no one expected Golden State, when they heard the news that Klay tore his Achilles, that they were going to be in this position. And he, think about, other than Draymond, I know Wiggins is good. Kelly Oubre got off to, who else is on, who
Kent,
else is on
Kent
this team?
Bazemore. I know.
Your number two pick, Wiseman, went down about a month and a half ago. So Steve Kerr has found ways to patchwork this team, and now they're in the play-in game. He is my MVP. His last 2 months have been ridiculous. That's ridiculous what he's done. That's the video game.
If you could have Robert Horry's career or Steve Nash's career?
Steve Nash, two-time MVP.
Yeah.
Kind of changed the game. I'm going to go with Steve Nash.
Yeah, that was my point.
I know championships are great. Don't get me wrong. But to be a baller and to be the best player on a team and to be the leader and to be a face of a nation too, and with Canada too, for a long while, I'm taking Steve Nash.
Okay. Robert Horry, Vince Carter.
Ooh. Now I might have to go with Robert Horry. But half man, half amazing. He started the basketball revolution along with Steve Nash for Canada when he was up in Toronto. But seven chips. I mean, Robert Horry needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I know. I get where you're going. Robert Horry needs to be in the Hall of Fame, Theodore.
Man, but okay. Iverson, Robert Horry.
Oh, come on. Stop it. Iverson.
Why? I mean,
that's easy. He's a cult hero.
Yeah, it's true.
He is a cult hero. He's like Shaq, Wilt, Steph, Jordan. They change things. They change the culture of things, the way we perceive things. I'm going with AI.
I'll leave you with this. How much of you wanted to hear Kobe give that speech Saturday?
Well, you know, we heard Jordan's speech, right? When he went, you know, he took names and went after guys.
Yeah.
I think we would have seen kind of the same thing.
You think he would have rose to the audience?
Yes. And then some.
See, I thought he would have roasted KG and Duncan.
I think he probably would have told a story about MJ, too, because I'm sure MJ, he would have asked MJ to stand up for him as well. And just see them side by side, because they will forever be linked, because they are the two best shooting guards this game has ever seen. And just to see them side by side would have been really cool, because of how much Kobe looked up to his airness. But Vanessa was fantastic.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how. I don't know how she does it. How she did it at the memorial at Staples, which was, that was too soon for me. And then this, it's, she was fantastic.
I got more emotional than she did. Like, she held her composure, and I'm going, oh, man, this is hitting me hard. Really
is. It's tough. It really is, because I'm glad we're starting to get a sense and see how Kobe was away from the court, you know, and we're getting a better glimpse of that, because all we see was win by any means necessary, go right through you, and rightfully so, because, you know, having played against him, that's how he was. But I kind of knew Kobe away from the court, and how Vanessa and the family have kind of made him more human has been fantastic, along with Gigi. I mean, just great. Absolutely great.
Great to talk to you, bud.
You're always the best, Theodore.
We'll talk soon. Once again, you would have your career over Robert Ori's, right?
Yeah. I love you, Big Shot, but you're getting this and this. I have big shots, too. I just don't have these. I don't have these, but I can go big shot for big shot with you, okay? But can I have one of these?
You're a better shooter than Robert Ori?
Man, come on. Stop it.
Stop
it.
Like a standstill. Standstill, kick out, Robert Ori, you.
Put it like this. He would come to me for shooting tips. Okay? He's coming to me for shooting tips.
There's a lot of guys who would. Thank you, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You're the best, Theodore. Love you, Danette.
That's Reggie Aloysius Miller Jr. III. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
He didn't wish me a happy birthday, but I'm a bigger man. Happy birthday to Jim Nance. Turned 62 today. Yes, Paulie.
Who else shares your birthday? I think, you know, we found out our buddy Ryan Leaf shares the same birthday as you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, it's your Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Leaf. John Smoltz.
Emmett Smith.
Yeah.
George Brett.
Yeah. How about I do it, Todd? It's my birthday.
It is your birthday.
Like, I don't do you and Brett Favre.
You don't, because I say it so many times, no one gets a chance to say it.
Yeah.
Same month,
same year.
Yeah. Same day.
Yeah. But Sugar Ray Leonard, also birthday today. Jim Nance and Sugar Ray Leonard. Trying to think.
Whose career do you want? Jim Nance, Sugar Ray Leonard. That's not as easy as you think.
Jim Nance's, because it continues.
He's rolling.
Yeah.
You know whose birthday is today? Enya, if you remember the popular recording artist who is forever linked with this show now, obviously. If you remember when Todd did the
Oh, the Atlanta comedy.
Todd did the Atlanta comedy thing. If you were bombing, they would just start piping in this Enya song. Yeah.
They were so close to playing that on me.
So they play you off the stage if you're bad. Yes, Paul.
We were there, man. It was a small club, and this guy was just tanking about two before Fritzy. And he goes, and then the stewardess says, and all of a sudden you just and you just have to walk.
All right, Jim, time to sit down.
I wanted to go home as soon as I saw that happen.
Can you check on something for me, Paulie? Is there a Wedding Crashers 2 in the works? Because sources close to me tell me.
Don't tease.
No. I'm told after the divorce, Wedding Crashers 2 is being written in the works.
Early stages?
Yes, Paulie.
In October of 2020, Vince Vaughn did an interview where he hinted at the fact that there could be a Wedding Crashers 2.
I'm told that that is in the works, and it's Wedding Crashers 2.
This would be your scoop of the year.
Yeah. I would think Russell Wilson would have been a bigger one, but that's okay. All right. Wedding Crashers 2 after the divorce. That's what I'm hearing. Source is close to me. If TMZ calls, you know, Harvey Levin, all right, I'll join him and we'll talk about it. No, this is all I know. Maybe I could have given, you know, Kevin Frazier a heads up, Entertainment Tonight. Yes, Paul.
Can they get Bradley Cooper in it? Bradley Cooper was Sack Lodge, his best role ever in the original Wedding Crashers. Mm-hmm. He's big time now. That might be tough to pull off.
I don't know. Just this, you know, this is what sources close to me tell me, that Wedding Crashers 2 after the divorce. This day in sports history, Paulie, do you have anything?
I do, but I scrambled off it to look for Wedding Crashers 2.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. The Chicago Cubs lost to the Boston Bruins.
Hank Aaron had his 3,000th hit today.
That's right.
All right.
David Wells in 1998 pitched the 13th modern perfect game, and he said he was completely hungover when he did it.
13th or 15th?
He was the 13th player in modern Major League history to throw a perfect game, according to my source.
Okay. They beat the Twins. Anything else?
It's kind of a slow day.
That's it. All right. I'll keep your head up. Let's go around the room. What we learned on the program. Todd.
Reggie Miller and supposedly LeBron agree with you that Steph Curry should be the MVP of the
league. They finally came around to this. Where were they when we started this season? McLovin?
Reggie Miller was just as surprised as everyone else when he dunked on the Nets.
Seton O'Connor.
Robert Horry would go to Reggie Miller for shooting advice.
It's just great that this conversation is not going to die. And then there'll be the next guy. If Robert Horry gets in, then they'll go, well, hey, you put in Robert Horry. I wonder if we get somebody who is decorated. It's not a great player, but great in moments and wins titles. Paulie, what'd you learn?
Today is Enya's birthday. I still don't know if Enya is a person or a musical group.
What did I learn, Todd?
Rudy T and Reginald Aloysius feel Robert Horry and his 7 rings belong in the Hall of Fame.
Oreo. Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile. You take that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all-around support on this program. For Fritzy, McLovin, Seton, Paulie, I'm Dan Patrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. One more item as we close out the show. Simply Safe, award-winning home security. You know it's engineered with the latest technology, keeping your family safe. But what really sets Simply Safe apart, I think, is the people. Highly trained security experts. They're always there for you when you need them the most. The people who truly care about keeping you safe. So let's say an alarm goes off. A person who cares is going to call you back on the phone. Emergency happens. A person who cares is there for you, getting fire and police responders to your front door right away. Even if you have a problem, setting up the system. A person who cares is going to be there. Friendly chat, quick resolution. Bottom line is when you need somebody, Simply Safe is there 24/7 with people who care. Experts trained to not only keep you safe, but make you feel safe. It's one of the many reasons U.S. News recently called Simply Safe best home security of 2021. Learn more how they can protect you and your family. SimplySafeDan.com. Customize your system. Get a free security camera. Also, 60-day risk-free trial. Nothing to lose. SimplySafeDan.com. Tell them we sent you.